Hello, Monday, October 18th. I am Trent Rinesmith, and it's another edition of the Come On Now MMA podcast. Lead story today is Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan being wrong, Joe Rogan being confidently wrong, and why this is, again, why I think Joe Rogan is dangerous, and why he needs to be a lot more responsible with the things he speaks about and how he speaks about them. So he took on the Fury Wilder 3 fight with the alleged long count, and I'm going to play the full recording from his podcast of what he had to say, and then I'm going to analyze it and tell you why I have a lot of problems with it. So here is Rogan speaking about what went down during that fight and his thoughts.
But there was some controversy about this fight. And one of the controversies was the extremely long counts when Tyson Fury went down. Cormier believes Fury benefited from crazy slow count. That's right. After being knocked down by Wilder. Daniel Cormier believes the referee made a bad call in the fourth round versus Fury versus Wilder 3. Well, he's correct. This is what happened. The count is supposed to, the referee is supposed to go 1, 2 when the guy goes down. But if for any reason he has to interrupt the count because the opponent needs to be told to go to the neutral corner, you're supposed to pick up the count where the ringside counter has it. So there's a guy who's counting ringside and he'll keep the count going. So if you're at 1, 2 and then you're like, go to a neutral corner, that guy's supposed to be like 3, 4 5.
As it should.
But he didn't.
Oh.
He went back to it. 3, 4 But the guy had already been down for a couple seconds. Without a doubt, it was a long count.
That's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
That's the problem with boxing, though. That's what people have a problem with. That's like considered kind of like bullshit.
It's like one of two things. It's either a mistake and the guy made an error, or maybe there's a, I don't think there's a different law in Vegas. I don't think there's a rule that allows them to do that. I think it's an error or corruption.
Right.
Most likely an error. Most likely the guy's panicking. He's in this huge fight. I don't know how many big high-profile fights. I'm not that well-schooled on boxing referees. I know a few of them. I used to know more of them back in the day, but I know a few of them. I don't know if I've seen that guy work before. So I don't know if he's panicking. But boxing's got a lot of...
Okay, so... First of all, he's wrong. That's not the rule. The rule is not that the referee has to pick up where an outside the ring official is counting. Once the referee takes over the count at the start of the knockdown, that's it. The referee continues the count. And here is what John McCarthy said when Daniel Cormier questioned this on Fight Night. And he wrote this on Twitter. I love you, DC, but you have to know the rules before saying the ref was wrong. Unified rules of boxing state, quote, keep an eye on that standing boxer and make sure he stays in the neutral corner. If boxer comes out, all caps here from McCarthy, stop the count. And back to regular font. Put back boxer back in the neutral corner and then resume counting. So I found the way the rule is actually written, and McCarthy is pretty close, very close. And here's the rule. According to the ABC rules of boxing, Association of Boxing Commissions, when a knockdown occurs, the down boxer's opponent shall go to the furthest neutral corner and remain there while the count is being made. The referee may stop counting if the opponent fails to go to the neutral corner and resume the count when he or she, when the opponent reports to or returns to the neutral corner. So there it is. The count gets paused and then resumed when the fighter goes to the neutral corner. So that's what happened. The count had to stop because the referee had to tell Wilder to go to his corner. He did. Then the count picked back up. Rogan was confident in how he said that this was not the rule. And just because you're confident doesn't mean you're right. Rogan should have checked the rules. Simple Google search would have said, no, your opinion is wrong. And then he could have made the proper statement on this. But instead, he was confidently wrong. and he delivered this with complete confidence. And then he went on to imply that, you know, not just imply, state that corruption could have been the case here, which is reckless and harmful to both the WBC, who oversaw the fight, and the referee, who was not, he was not confused. He was not corrupt. He did what he was to do by the book. And again, Rogan says that he doesn't know this referee. Well, had he done any research at all, again, simple Google search on the referee's name would have shown that this man refereed three title fights in 2021, including most recently the recent Pacquiao title fight. So this isn't some new referee who Rogan doesn't know. If, well, maybe Rogan doesn't know him, but that doesn't mean he's just some guy they got off the street who hasn't refereed important fights. He has three title fights this year, so he's not just some schlub. He got shouted out by George Foreman after the fight for how well he did in the fight and letting the boxers decide the outcome of the contest. So George Foreman knows who he is. It doesn't really matter if Joe Rogan knows who he is. And this is kind of why I think Joe Rogan's dangerous, because he makes these big sweeping statements and he delivers them with such confidence, even when they're wrong, that he convinces people he knows what he's talking about. And sure, this is a minor thing, that the biggest concern is going to be the referee and the WBC. But you're going to have people believing now that Joe Rogan knows what he's talking about, and that it was a long count, and that there was possible corruption, or the referee was, you know, out of his league. None of that's true. The only thing that's true here is that Joe Rogan was wrong. Will Joe Rogan offer an apology or a correction? I highly doubt it, because once he makes a statement, he just moves on and lets the wreckage burn behind him. And that's what I expect is going to happen here. He should apologize to the referee at the very least, apologize to the WBC for saying that they're corrupt, but I doubt that that will happen. And again, this is why Joe Rogan's dangerous. He can take something much bigger than this, make the same kind of statement with the same kind of confidence, and have the same or more people believing that he is correct and true and knows what he's talking about. He is wrong in this case. He is spreading false, he's just fake newsing it, for lack of a better term, and he's hurting the reputation of that referee and of the WBC. So I would hope Rogan's going to make an apology. I doubt Rogan is going to make an apology. Daniel Cormier recently called for the UFC to enforce its code of conduct when it came to John Jones. And I'm saying Daniel Cormier needs to be very careful. And I thought this when he brought it up. But he basically said, enforce the code of conduct. That's what it's there for. And he was, again, addressing John Jones. So my thought when he said it was, this is going to backfire on Daniel Cormier. If he wants the code of conduct enforced and the UFC is going to enforce it correctly, it'll force it, which is a big question, but it will enforce it across the board with no care of who falls under the code of conduct. And like clockwork, not long after Cormier said enforce the code of conduct, Conor McGregor socks some DJ in the face and causes some injuries and makes news. So if punching a civilian in the face at a club is not a violation of the code of conduct, I don't know what is. And so if Cormier would want this enforced and the UFC would enforce it correctly, and we know that's not going to happen at all, that McGregor would have been caught up in the code of conduct as well, and he probably would have gotten a fine and a suspension here. Most likely a fine and a suspension if things were done correctly. Instead, because the code of conduct is not enforced, he'll walk away with Dana White making some claims. I don't know what he's going to claim here. He can't claim it's the fight game and this thing happens, because the other guy was just some guy. He might claim that the guy brought it on himself somehow or other, because Dana White is not above victim blaming, which we've seen many times in the past. But Cormier wants the code of conduct enforced, and I agree with him, the code of conduct should be enforced, but be careful what you ask for, because sometimes that code of conduct is just going to bite somebody in the ass that the UFC wants and needs to make them money. And in this case, it would have been Conor McGregor. Corey Anderson, who had a win on in the Bellator light heavyweight tournament over the weekend, was supposed to be on the MMA Hour today with Ariel Helwani. Before the show took place on Monday here, Bellator said, Helwani said that Bellator okayed it. Anderson was okay with doing it. And then on the day of the show, Ali Abdelaziz, who is the manager of Corey Anderson, said that he didn't want Anderson to be on the show. And so Anderson did not go on the show. And let's try and parse this a little bit. Corey Anderson is a fighter. Ali Abdelaziz is his manager. Therefore, Ali Abdelaziz works for Corey Anderson. And he's supposed to get Corey Anderson opportunities like this to be on the biggest podcast in MMA, which is Ariel Helwani's. And the MMA Hour, I don't care what you think, is the biggest podcast in MMA. Now, could that change in the future? Sure, but right now, biggest podcast there is. Biggest opportunity for a fighter to get their name out there, especially a Bellator fighter, to get their name out there and to get people to notice them and to get people to know what happened over the weekend that he is going to be in the final of the Bellator Light Heavyweight Grand Prix. Instead, his manager, again, who works for him, says no. And Anderson somehow listens to his manager for some reason and does not go on the show. I have a big problem with that part. I have a big problem with the whole thing. It makes me wonder what Ali Abdelaziz uses to, and it's got to be fear, because what else could it be? What he has that, what he says to these fighters to make him fear him so much that they're going to do his bidding and can carry on a beef with Helwani that Abdelaziz has, not Ed Anderson has. Anderson, from what I know here, he wouldn't have agreed to go on the show if he had a big beef with Helwani. But according to Helwani, he had agreed, and then Abdelaziz put the kibosh on that. I don't understand why. I don't understand why any fighter would just say no to the biggest podcast because our manager says no. If I'm a fighter, I'm going to say to the manager, you work for me, I'm going on here, and if you have a problem with that, well, then I will move on to a different management team. Because let's face it, management in MMA doesn't do much, especially when it comes to Abdelaziz, doesn't do much but say yes when the promotion calls. Abdelaziz has said in the past that he doesn't want to ruin his relationship with the UFC or promotions by you know, going against them, more or less. And that's not what a manager is supposed to do. A manager is supposed to look out for the fighter, not look out for his relationship with a promotion. But we all know Abdelaziz cherishes his relationship with the UFC. And we also know that Abdelaziz promotes himself more than he promotes his fighters. And here's another case of that happening. And I don't get it. I don't get what he does to has these fighters in such fear of him. I don't understand it. But if anyone has a dominance MMA contract and they want to share it, I'd be willing to take a look at that, and I'd be willing to give whoever throws that in my way confidentiality, because I want to see what Abdelaziz has in these contracts that makes these fighters so compliant to him. Because Corey Anderson has no reason not to go on the MMA Hour after he agreed to do so, after probably getting the biggest win of his career and going into the biggest opportunity of his career. And he's going to no-sell that fight, no-sell the future, no-sell his victory. He's not going to promote that in any way in with the biggest media outlet in MMA. It makes no sense. And it makes less sense that Abdelaziz is actively working against his fighters and not allowing them to promote themselves. I don't understand any of what happened here on Monday. And if someone can explain it, I'd be willing to listen. I just don't get it. And with that, that's all I have for today. Everybody, stay safe.